サウナの中
サウナの中on tänään Edinburghin Jazz ja Blues Festivaaleilla. Tuossa taustalla paikuttaa Trinidad Tobagosta peräisin oleva teräsrumpuyhtye, joka piti ilmaiskonserttia puistossa komean Edinburghin linnan kuumottaessa taustalla. Oikeastaan olen täällä pitämässä esitelmää yhdessä konferenssissa, joten visitti ihan vähän lyhykäiseksi. Sikäli harmi, sillä tämä on aika komea kaupunki. Wikipedia kertoo, että tämä on ollut Skotlannin pääkaupunki jo vuodesta 1437 ja jonkin asteinen heimopäällikkö täällä lienee asunut jo jostain 500-luvulta alkaen. Keskustassa on hankala ottaa valokuvaa ilman, että kuvaan tulee Edinburghin näkyvin maamerkki, Edinburghin linna, josta ammutaan joka päivä kello yksi tykin laukaus. Itse en tiennyt koko asiaa, ja eilen kun se jysähti, niin hyvä, etteivät vetelät valahtaneet housuun, kun kävelin tuossa Princess Streetillä. Täällä Brittein saarilla kun ollaan, niin olla on jotenkin erityisen pamausherkkä. Ja seuraavaksi pitäisi lähteä syömään haggista, tuota Skotlannin kansallisherkkoa, jota matemaattisesti orientoitunut ystäväni kuvaili inversiokuvatuksi lampaaksi. Eli siis kyseessähän on lampaan suoli, jonka sisällä on maagisesti tungettu kaikki lampaan sisäelimet ja jonkin verran sipulia, mausteita, laardia, puuroa ja suolaa. Koska Edinburghin bussit ovat lakossa, niin pitääkin lähteä ajoissa, ettei kävellä. Palaamme näiden sponsoroidien viestien jälkeen, jos olemme vielä elossa.
Saunan takaa.
Jeps, eli ei siinä mitään mainoksia ollutkaan, pahoittelen hämäystä. Haggis oli edelleenkin erittäin hyvää ja se maistuu suurin piirtein, tai ainakin minua se muistuttaa kovasti niin kuin suomalaisesta lihapiirakasta, mikä tietysti herättää hieman epäilyksiä lihapiirakan suhteen, että mitä kaikki aineita siihen on mahdettu käyttää. Edinburgh on tietysti paitsi viskien kannalta varsin erinomainen kaupunki, se on myös huvittelun suhteen varmaan niin kuin erityisesti näin elokuussa niin yksi varmaan maailman parhaita kaupunkeja, sillä täällä järjestetään Edinburgh Fringe Festival, joka on eräänlainen, sanoisinko, vaihtoehtoviihteen tärkeimpiä tapahtumia maailmassa ja on käsittääkseni yksi maailman suurimpia, ellei suurin festivaalitapahtuma. Minulla oli tuuria saada kiinni Ewan Spence, joka on, ei varsinaisesti ole missään tekemisissä tämän festivaalin kanssa, mutta onpahan vain erittäin innostunut paikallinen, joka yrittää tehdä podcastia tästä kyseisestä tilaisuudesta. Ja seuraavaksi lyhyt haastattelun pätkä, jossa kuuluu sekä epämääräistä suomi-englantia että vielä epämääräisempää skotti-englantia. Olkaa hyvä.
Saunan takaa on saanut kiinni Ewan Spence-nimisen henkilön, joka tietää yllättävän paljon tästä Edinburghin Fringe Festivalista. So Ewan,
can we do this in English?
Sure.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, I was just introducing.
My Finnish goes as far as Mika Häkkinen. Good, Kimi Räikkönen, Mini Mika Häkkinen. That's about it, really.
Well, you know, that works in certain circles. You know, you do a lot of stuff like all about Symbian and that sort of stuff. But what I really want to ask you is talk about the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. That's going to take the whole city apart for the next 3 weeks or so.
The Edinburgh Fringe is one of many festivals that happens around Edinburgh in August. The original Edinburgh International Festival was about 50 years ago, and at that point, 8 performers came up from England and said, we want to do something, and nobody would give them a stage. So they went, fine. So they found a hall and got a stage themselves, and thus was born the Fringe Festival. Whereas now, the Fringe is the largest festival that goes on in August in Edinburgh, and it's the one that gets most of the press. But you still have the International Festival, the Jazz Festival, the Book Festival, the EIEF for a Mobile Gaming and Technology Festival is running this year. There's just a whole bundle of events. Effectively, yes, Edinburgh's population for August doubles, to put that into perspective. And the Fringe alone, to throw some of the scary numbers out, has this year in the region of 16,000 individual performers.
16,000? That's like the size of the Olympic Games or something.
Well, actually, the Olympic Games only has 11,000 athletes in Athens in 2004. So there's the amount of athletes you had in the Olympics Games plus another 5,000. And between them, they're doing 18,000 different shows over an official three-week period, as well as 4 or 5 days of previews at the start of August. So, yeah, the population doubles. Half of the actual population of Edinburgh decides that this is a good time to go for a holiday. So, in actual fact, the population probably triples because, you know, you've got to replace those people first.
So people are essentially making a lot of money renting their houses to people who come over just for the festival.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, the average house in Edinburgh will go for about 800 a month or so for a basic spec place. Whereas in the festival, you can see rents in the outlying districts going up to £600 a week.
Ouch.
You know, and most of those houses will get overloaded because the performers are on a very tight budget, those that hire venues and do stagings. And it would be wrong to say that people come to the festival knowing they will lose money. But it's probably only the top maybe 20% of the acts will actually hit the break-even point and actually come away with a paper profit.
Okay, so you're doing the podcast of the Fringe Festival.
Indeed,
yes. Tell us about it.
Well, it's the first podcast from the Edinburgh Fringe. I've not yet officially heard of any other companies doing podcasts on the Fringe, so I suspect there will be one or two. But our first show went up today, which is a preview show, just basically so everybody gets an idea of what it's doing. But effectively, from the 8th of August through the 27th of August, the same official dates as Fringe, there will be 30-minute daily MP3 available on our website, which is http://edinburghfringe.thepodcastnetwork.com. Or I'm sure Yanni's going to put that URL up in the show notes because it's an absolute monster.
Yes, I will. I already heard the preview show and it was very enticing.
Oh, that's only because you were trapped in a conference all day and it was either that or listen to the person talking to you about RFID tags and how they would work with phones. Oh, that was you, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, apart from him, because he was quite interesting and very informative.
By the way, I did actually record and I will maybe podcast it at some point.
So it's a 30-minute daily show. It's... From what we can see, it's the first podcast from the Edinburgh Fringe. It looks to be the first podcast from a non-geek stroke tech event. I mean, things like ESEC and SXSW are prime candidates for podcasting, as are things like 3GSM. And the hands up, I've done 3GSM as a podcast. But it's the first sort of non-geek one. So it's, I mean, part of it is a big experiment. I mean, you have, the Scottish newspapers and a lot of the nationals will come up to the Fringe from the UK. You will have BBC Scotland doing a nightly TV programme, but you don't have something that has a sort of international reach, which is really weird because the Edinburgh Fringe, you know, if I walked up to somebody in Anchorage in Alaska, I hope I got that right, otherwise my geography is going to... I didn't pass geography at school, okay? You know, I passed technology, there's a surprise. You know, somebody over in Alaska, what's the Edinburgh Fringe? Oh, I know that. But, you know, can they get information about it? Well, you know, there's... It's starting to seep through on the internet, and you have sites like chortle.co.uk who are going to be carrying coverage, and you will get reviews on the official Edinburgh Fringe site, which is www.edfringe.com. But, you know, the Fringe podcast is getting in with the performers. We're speaking to the performers, we're speaking to people that are actually on the ground. I mean, today I went from two extremes. I was speaking to the head of press at the Edinburgh Fringe office to get the history, and then I walked out onto the Royal Mile, where we are now in a very blightly, balmy, non-raining Edinburgh evening, to one of the street performers, and they just literally stand and go, "I've got a show, come and see me," and 100 people will stand around him and he will do the show, and then he will go, "If you think it's worth money, give me some money." And, you know, I mean, they can make a living out of that. That's the sort of, So there are huge extremes in sort of performances, and we're going to try and capture that spirit in the podcast. We're trying, you know, if you're in Edinburgh, then we're going to provide you a shortcut. You're going to hear performers, you're going to hear news, you're going to hear stuff. It's going to enhance your time in Edinburgh. If you're not in Edinburgh, then my job is to make you so jealous that next year you just have to be here.
Yeah, and I can tell you that he's actually really doing well on that part. I mean, I already am really jealous of that fact that I'm not going to be here tomorrow.
I mean, I've picked out three shows that have immediately sort of grabbed my attention. The first one is a one-man Macbeth show, where one actor will be an impressionist and will do all the voices for the entirety of Macbeth.
Okay.
The only difference is that the voices he will be doing the impressions of are the characters from The Simpsons doing Macbeth. It's called Mac Homer.
Okay. So is that guy a part of the official Simpsons cast?
No. He's just really good at it. Yeah.
Okay.
We have a Bill Hicks tribute act, who's going on the simple premise that Bill Hicks has been sent down by God to do one show at the Edinburgh Fringe this year.
Okay. Could you explain who Bill Hicks is? Because Finnish listeners might not know.
In the same way that James Dean is to actors who died young, and Princess Diana is to car airbags who died young, Bill Hicks would be to the alternative comedians. He basically is one of the greats. You can measure him up with people like Richard Pryor, with Sam Kinison, with that sort of ilk, that sort of level. So, you know, most, if you said to people, would you like Bill to come back for one show, then they would probably say yes. So, you know, it's a very brave performer who comes up to the Fringe pretending to be somebody else who's won some of the most prestigious awards and is one of the most recognisable names in comedy and doing new material for him. I mean, we will catch him in an interview for the show that's going to go out on the 8th of August.
Right.
Or the show that was out on 8th of August, depending on how the editing goes. And the last one that I find incredibly intriguing is the Great British Ukulele Orchestra performing their renditions of classical music and rock greats. I saw them a while back doing a cover of Nirvana's Nevermind on 7 ukuleles and one man who'd obviously been shouting too much. And a strange mix of awe, shock, horror, delight and oh my god, I have to speak to these guys. The Fringe is full of small acts that just melt your mind. I mean, there's Moon Journey, who are saying that they're a progressive rock band from the late 70s who are going to try and resuscitate their dead album. Their show's called Classic Canapes, which is people doing falsetto versions of show tunes from the 30s and 40s. There's one guy called Mark Watson, as I remember, who's attempting to set a world record to do a comedy gig that's going to be 2,005 minutes long. And each minute will represent 1 year. So the first minute will be year one, the second minute will be a joke about year two, the third minute will be year three, all the way through to present day. And he's going to do that non-stop. It's going to take him like 36 hours or something. We can see all the geeks now just going, it's not 36 hours, it's go get a life! You go come and commit suicide by trying to cover this daily in a podcast with almost zero budget.
I mean, I was quite surprised already when I came and I saw the Jazz and Blues Festival, and there was this steel drum band from Trinidad and Tobago playing in the middle, not on a stage, but in the middle of everything, and people were standing around and dancing. So how's the general mood around with the Fringe Festival? Is it like that?
It is. I mean, there's a certain, I wouldn't say not in my backyard from the residents of Edinburgh, but because the Fringe and all the festivals have been a huge benefit both economically and in terms of living environment to the city. You know, there are a lot more people here, but you know, fully 70% of tickets to Fringe shows are sold to Edinburgh residents, which is really strange considering the population doubles. So we're obviously buying more tickets than everybody else. I don't know, maybe that's the number of performers and press and talent scouts and, you know, people trying to find the next big thing coming into the town. But it's, you know, I mean, you can see people here who in 4 or 5 years' time you could be seeing winning an Oscar or a Tony or just making it big on, I don't know, RTL Channel 5 and some 2-bit panel comedy game show where they say something nasty about Jermaine Greer and they suddenly become infamous. It's a chance to grab people that you won't see. I mean, there are a lot of people, comedians who come up and they're from the telly, you know, and those shows sell out. And I just want to say to these people, but he's on the telly. You can see him on the telly. Why not take a chance down the corner with a comedian called Joe Heenan, for example, who is known on the comedy circuit, but has no other knowledge anywhere else. I mean, he's a guy that can do a 15-minute show that will, you know, rip you to shreds and have you rolling on the sides.
Is that exclusively British people who come here to perform?
No, I mean, it's because it's such a global brand, you will have a lot of people coming over from all over. Tom Gleeson, who's a comedian from Australia, does the Skate House show, which our UK viewers will be able to see in Paramount, and it's probably going through the rest of the world. We'll be flying over, and he's doing a 2-week run at Gilded Balloon TV. You will get, I mean, the street performer I spoke to today, Todd Various, he was born in Detroit, lives in an island just off the coast of Florida, and he spent 6 months doing the festival circuit in the UK, and because of the cracking exchange rate, he goes home and lives for the rest of the 6 months off what he makes. And that supports himself and a family of three, but he has to be at the fringe. It's the place to be. I mean, if people recognise the name in Alaska, or Hawaii, or the Antarctic, you know, or Helsinki, or Espoo, or wherever, then, you know, being able to say, I was at the Fringe, I performed at the Fringe, and, you know, Touchwood maybe winning one of the awards, it is, you know, I'm pouring, you know, a concentration of talent scouts, promoters, of media, of shows, of doing maybe one or two live shows every day, just provides such a boost to an artist's entire repertoire of things he needs.
So, if you wanted to see the Fringe Festival, I mean, this year it's probably going to be a bit too late.
No. But I mean, you could get on a plane, you could get yourself into Edinburgh Airport. Tickets, the big shows will invariably sell out, but you don't want to go to the big shows. You just want to come in, you know, drop £7 or £8 on a couple of random shows. There are some of the comedy clubs do showcases where you've got 4 or 5 comedians from around the Fringe, so you've got that as a good banker event in the evening. But you've got shows starting from 1 o'clock in the afternoon through to about 11 or 12 at night, and then you can either, you know, just walk around the city for the evening, or, you know, to be honest, your best bet would be to jump on a train and stay in Glasgow, which is about 40 minutes away, and your last train leaves at midnight, then come back in again for the morning, do your second day, and then get an evening flight home. You could probably round that up for in the region of €350.
Okay. So, but if you actually want to sleep in the city, is that
it might
possible?
Be quite hard now. I mean, your best bet there would be things like youth hostels, or, to be honest, Visit Scotland and the Scottish Tourist Board will have a list of hotels with capacity. If all you want is a clean bed, you will find it. It might be 10 or 15 minutes away, and it might not, you know, be the swishiest, swankiest, you know. We give you coffee and gold-plated china cups in the morning on a bed of rosemary leaves at the time. No, you'll probably just end up with, what have you got? Haggis, sausage, tea, drink, beer by 11. But you will find a bed, you know, and you know, you don't want to be sleeping if you come up the Fringe. You want to come up here, you want to come and see some of the street performers in the Royal Mall, you want to take in the city itself, you want to start picking up shows from about 1 o'clock, and then, you know, 1 at 3, 1 at 5, 1 at 7, 1 at 9, you know, then you get yourself back out of the airport and crash out. I mean, if you time it right, you get a flight that comes in very early morning. You could probably finish your show here at 12 o'clock, nip around to the Bedlam University Theatre at 12:30. They have an improvised comedy show that runs till 2 o'clock in the morning. So the time you do that, you know, get yourself freshened up to the taxi, get back out to the airport, you can meet at 7 o'clock, fly home in the morning.
Okay. Thank you, Ewan.
Not a problem.
This was a very interesting, quick and dirty introduction to the Edinburgh Fringe.
Yeah, we've got and more, obviously, at the homepage, which is, I'll do it again, and we suddenly have an influx of seagulls above us.
Well, we just had the the trash truck.
Well,
the garbage truck.
There is that, but, you know, I've been watching Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds again. So let's close this up with the URL, which is http edinburghfringe.thepodcastnetwork.com.
Yes, and the festival starts on Monday. I guess it's going on already now.
The previews start tomorrow on the 2nd. But the sort of Fringe proper, as it is, starts on Monday the 8th, and that's when we switch to a daily podcast as well.
Yes, and it keeps on going for 3 weeks.
3 weeks, yeah. Basically, that's how long the average human body can go without sleep.
Okay, so we wish luck to Ewan, and hope that we can also hear his voice after 3 weeks of continuous podcasting, and we'll come back with some concluding thoughts after these commercial remarks.
Saunan takaa.
Eli siinä oli Ewan Spence, mies, joka kirjoittaa osoitteessa ewanspence.com omaa blogiaan. Lisäksi hänellä on useampikin menestyksekäs podcasti The Podcast Networkilla. Eli hän pitää siellä muun muassa esimerkiksi elokuva podcastia sekä myös rockmusiikkipodcastia. Ja nyt hän on siis aloittanut tällaisen hurjan urakan, jossa pyritään podi lähettämään joka ikinen päivä täältä Edinburghin Fringe-festivaalilta. Tänään en soita teille mitään musiikkia, koska olen yksinkertaisesti iltaan laiska etsimään sellaista, joten päätämme tämän podilähetyksen sellaisen mielenkiintoisen huomioon, että tämä oli luultavasti ensimmäinen Suomessa tehty kännipodilähetys, mikä saattaa ehkä niin kuin, minusta kuulua, koska olen syönyt päivällä harvinaisen vähän ja sitten vedin pari tuopillista oikein makoisaa skottiolutta ja saattaa siellä ehkä olla joku viskikin pohjalla. Kiitos kuulijoille ja kuulemiin.
Saunan takaa on tänään Edinburghissa.